how he has had his best month ever in the history of real estate, how he has the most pending volume in the history of the company of Matt Smith Real Estate Group for an agent, and he's gonna unpack how he's done that. Welcome back to another episode of All or Nothing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Matt Smith, the founder of All or Nothing in Real Estate. As a reminder, this podcast is a movement to give back to this amazing industry that has given so much to me and my family. And today we have a very special guest, someone that is in the trenches, that is winning at the highest levels. And we're going to allow him to share and bring value and unpack how he has had his best month ever in the history of real estate, how he has the most pending volume in the history of the company of Matt Smith Real Estate Group for an agent. And he's going to unpack how he's done it. And so I don't know how else to introduce him other than saying he has absolutely earned his way to be on the show. And I know team leaders, agents, anyone is going to get value out of this episode because this man has done the work and he's willing to contribute and unpack how he has done it for you. So without further ado, one of our amazing agents on the team at Matt Smith Real Estate Group, an amazing friend of mine, an amazing contributor to our community, Mr. Kent Wheelock. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I really appreciate you having me on.
For sure. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you contributing and giving back. I know that's important to you, and I just can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you. So, for context, I want everyone to understand, Kent, you've been an agent on the team for how long?
Right about 3.5 years now, Matt.
3.5 years, and you came to us with all kinds of sales experience, right?
yeah, right. Absolutely zero sales experience, none.
Your history was military and government employee, and real estate's a whole new career and thing for you to tackle.
Absolutely. Yeah. My whole adult life was wrapped around serving Uncle Sam, and I was just ready for a change. So I made the leap to real estate.
I love it. Love it. So I just wanted to share that for context of, I think so many people just have this false perception. In order to be successful, I need to be great at sales. I need to be this. And I'm not saying that you're not a great salesperson, because I think you have developed those skills and you are. But I think it started out of a bigger purpose. You mentioned it today at our go to the board exercise in the team, and you mentioned it just there. You didn't say you worked at the military. You said you served Uncle Sam. And I think that same servant mentality still sticks, is just part of who you are. Right. And that's how you walked in the real estate, is how can I serve the team? How can I serve the clients? How can I serve the community? And I think it's that mentality that has led you into becoming and developing the skills to be a great salesperson. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with that. True statement, for sure.
Cool. So just for, again, for perspective, is Kent's boots on the ground. He is a huge contributing member of our new Lake office. And he's kind of helped us bootstrapped building a brand in a new marketplace that is full of real estate agents, secondary home market. It's everyone wants a piece of the Lake of the Ozarks. And Kent is the one on the ground leading the charge there, making big things happen. So much so that in the month of September, 11 families under contract. And he currently has, I think it's 6.4 million in pending volume.
Yep, 6.4. That's correct.
Which I know there's some of you listening in California and you have big sales price. Good for you. We don't have that luxury here in Missouri. And so that is actually a record for our organization, for an agent to have that much volume pending at one time. And so I just thought it would be great to hear from Kent and hear what he's doing that is working, what he has done to get to build those skills, and how he has built that business that he has built for himself and his family in real estate. So, Kent, share with us, if you don't mind, share with the people, what do you feel has kind of attributed to your success that you're seeing right now in your business?
You know, probably number one, Matt, is just consistency in the level of effort that I'm willing to put in on a daily basis. It takes effort, right? This isn't a business, at least not that I've experienced over the last 3 years, where things are just handed to you. You got to go out and earn it, right? So, it's a contact sport. You've got to be willing to talk to people, get on the phones and talk to people. That comes pretty easily for me. I'm as you like to call me, a chatty Cathy.
I don't call you Chatty Cathy. You got your own name, Chatty
Chatty Kenty, there you go. There
Kinty.
you go. But no, I love to talk to people. I'm always talking to people, whether it's on the phones, whether it's out in person, always talking about real estate. So I think that helps. But just one would be the consistency and the level of effort that I'm willing to put in into those activities that I know are going to, to boost my business and take me to the next level. And that's simply, the simple tasks. They are simple. The simple task of prospecting a follow-up with folks, that's probably the biggest thing for me.
While a lot of people are trying to figure out how can I sell real estate without talking to people, Ken is over here falling in love with the process and the work that he knows will get him the result. And one of the things I know about Kent is he has done the work consistently, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. So much so that like Ken, I'm sure you remember some of these conversations, or at least I hope you do, that I've reached out and say, man, I see the work you're doing. Like, let's dive into your business so that we can start getting better results. And I think that hopefully for leaders listening to that, that will speak volumes to you. I didn't wait on Kent to come to me. Like, I see the effort that this guy is doing. And I'm like, I can help you. Let's dive in. You're doing the work. Let me help you get the results. And by no means am I trying to take credit for the results he has. All the credit to him and the work that he's done. But he's earned he's earned a lot of my time that I've wanted to volunteer. Just because I see the human that he is and the work that he is doing, and I couldn't be happier for you, my friend, for the results that you're getting.
Yeah, I love it, Matt. I really appreciate, I know you and others in our team have poured into me over the last 3.5 years. And, I think it's certainly invaluable to me, the coaching tips you've gave me. I've implemented a lot of what you and others have given me, and I credit that for my success for sure. So thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, 100%, man. And I would summarize your first bullet point. Work works.
Yep.
Pretty simple, right? Are you willing to do the work required? Number one. And I think so many people struggle with this, and I'm just curious your opinion. Maybe you don't have one, maybe you do. Why do you think people do what they can to try to avoid the work instead of leaning into the work that they see others do? Or like, let's say that someone is listening to this and they say, hey, I want to model Kent's success, but they're like, I'm not willing to do the work that he does. Like, what advice would you have to them?
Well, sometimes people avoid the work, because they're simply afraid with what might come with that work, right? Sometimes we say people are afraid of failure, but on the opposite side of the spectrum there, sometimes people are afraid of success.
Yes,
And
sir.
what if I do the work and I start having success, then what? What do I got to do, right? So I think that's part of it. I was having a conversation right before we came in here with a new agent that just started boot camp this week, and she talked about, well, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they actually told me that they were interested in purchasing something, and I freaked out because I didn't know what to do. I freaked out, right? So I kind of lost the bubble on the conversation simply because, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. She was seeing some success, and now like, holy crap, I wasn't expecting that. How do I react to it, right? So I think that's part of it. Yeah, I don't know. There may be some folks out there that are just looking for the easy wins, and hoping those things fall in their lap. And certainly in this last month, I've had some luck with a couple things that kind of fell in my lap. But you can't depend on that, right? You've got to do the work to ensure your success long term. So,
Well, I want to add to that is that you can call it luck, but here's my belief is that I believe we create our own luck. And I think that those things fell in your lap because of those what let me say it this way. I don't believe those things that have went your way or have happened for you that has maybe been a little easier during this month would have happened without the effort that you have put in consistently over a period of time.
I agree with that.
And
Yep,
so if that's
100%.
the case, that's not luck. That's a result of work over a period of time. It
Right.
just it looks on the surface like luck.
Sure.
Right? Like an analogy I would use is like you ever see like overnight success stories? Like this guy became a
Yeah.
multi-billionaire overnight.
Yeah,
No, he
sure.
didn't. You didn't see the 10 years of work that he did behind the scenes to
Right.
become the person that could accomplish. I think
Right.
it's a very similar analogy of like that overnight success of an amazing month that you've had has been the result of the effort consistently compounded over time.
Yep, absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
mean, as an example, dude, I pulled up your numbers. Just this year, Kent has made 6,258 phone calls inside the CRM to
Daddy,
1,410 people.
you broke up there when you said that, man. What was the number? I
Kent
didn't hear.
has made 6,258 phone calls
That's
this
cool.
year, logged in the CRM, to 1,410 people. He has had 1,636 conversations from those phone calls. He has received 1,336 phone calls of people calling him back. And that has resulted in almost 10 days of talk time this year
A
in the
lot.
CRM. So, again, tell me again how it was luck.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on pace to have my best, again, I've only been in the business 3.5 years, but I'm on pace to have my best year yet. And I would agree that that is coming from compounding interest over time, just putting in that work, putting in the work, and it's coming to fruition, right?
There's something else that I want to observe that you mentioned, and I see this all over you all the time. But not only are you not willing or not afraid of the work, you actually lean into the work. And sometimes you work too hard. I've told you this before, right?
Yeah,
I encourage you to work smarter, not harder. But on top of all that is that, dude, you're at top of the list of an amazing group of people that we have in our environment. Of you're at the top of the list as a team player, right? Like you put the team first and you contribute at a high level. You show up and you take our core values to heart. You take our cultural standards to heart. You're present, you're positive, you're prepared for the team meetings, for the trainings, and you are always looking for a way of where can I contribute? I think that for agents listening right now, is number one, you got to do the work, but like, how are you showing up as a taker? What can I get from this? Are you showing up as a contributor? Because if you want to get more in your life, you've got to give more, right? Like, and I'm going to take this in a weird spot, but like, it's just my belief is that my belief is you can't hack God. I don't know if you listening are people of faith or not, but take it for the universe, whatever you want to call it. I don't believe in coincidences, and that's why I don't believe in luck, is I believe that that is a result of continued effort over the period of time. Well, the same thing with all the blessings that Kent's receiving right now in his business, those are just a reflection of the things that he's been giving. That's all it is. And I see it from my perspective, and I just think that it's so many people are, and I don't mean this in a like to talk down to people, but I just think so many people have the wrong outlook. And one of the things that I love about you is that you're always looking of what can I give? How can I contribute? Like we had go to the board today, a quarterly exercise that we do in our organization where we come up and we publicly declare our commitments to finish the year strong. We talk about how it's going to affect our personal life. And Kent shared everything that is working at a high level. And then he like shared more about how he's had this journey, about how he builds relationship. He's just given his playbook away to everyone in the organization. And then after that, go to the board's over. I come to my office. I have a couple coaching calls. I go to the bathroom, fill up my water jug, and guess who I see out in the agent in the area with the new agents? It's Kent, giving them advice, contributing. Because the agents that just started this week, we had five of them around him, and he's just pouring into them. Like, that's where the luck comes from. It comes from the contribution and the work. What are your
So
thoughts on that?
I fully believe in contribution. I've always been that way. Back in my military career, I love to, one, I feel it's my obligation to give back to the team that's given so much to me, right? So it's an obligation for me. But I just love pouring into, just like you've poured into me and others have poured into me. I love pouring into others, right? And seeing them thrive. I'm very much a team player. So there are no secrets. Like you said, I'm going to give you my whole playbook, and I think we owe each other to do that. And that's what makes this team so strong, and this culture so strong, because we're just full of agents that are willing to do the same thing. So yes, I agree. I believe I told you a couple times in the recent past, I believe in karma. And I think that's just some of that coming back, right? You've got a saying that you've said numerous times: when the part gives the whole, the whole gives back 10 times that, right? So I think I'm enjoying some of that now, right? But yeah, it's
But
my obligation to
I
give
want to
back.
highlight something though. So many people, even if they believe that, they give for a week and they're like, all right, where's mine?
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Not that easy.
And that's one of the things I want to highlight is that it's just part of your being and who you are. But man, 3.5 years, like you've not once had a taking conversation with anyone. It's always, how can I give? And I can't tell you, like, it makes me so happy, man, to see you winning how you are, right? Just because I just love to see people winning, and I love to see people winning that are like-minded and that are contributing. And it's just, man, I know there's more blessings in your future, and I can't wait for them to happen, you know?
Yep, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
One of the other things that I think that I've observed, and I think that you actually shared this at our Million Dollar Mastermind that we had for our top producing agents, which, how cool was that, by the way?
It was awesome. Fantastic event. Yeah,
Yeah,
really good.
dude, it like, you guys made it so good. Like, the level of conversation that we had, it was, I mean, it felt like I flew somewhere to a mastermind with team leaders. Like, it was, dude, it was so good. But one of the things that you contributed to that room was your superpower of being able to build relationships. Do you feel like that's attributed to this success you've had?
Absolutely, 100%. I kind of bend that building relationships into three different categories. There's in this business, there's a lot of different folks that you build relationships with. Obviously your clients. The leads that you talk to, other agents on the team, the other agent on the other end of the transaction, the listing or buying agent, inspectors, title companies, lenders. This is a relationship business. It's all about people and building those solid foundations with relationships. And the better you are at building those relationships, I believe the more successful you're going to be as well. Because everybody want to work with folks that they've got those solid relationships with. So that's a big deal to me as well.
100%. And here's what I think why it's important. There's multiple reasons why, but this is the reason why it's a core value of ours. We have a privilege and the honor of being able to help people with the biggest purchase or sale of their lives every single day. Like, if you break it down, that's what we do. Tell me a purchase that's bigger for most people than buying a home or selling a home. They're uprooting their entire family. Not only the price point, but the emotional attachment to a home that you're living in with your family. It doesn't get bigger than that for most people.
No, it doesn't.
Dude, we get to help people with that every day.
Yeah, it's an honor. It's an honor and
How can
privilege
you
for
do
sure.
that without building relationships? And so many people skip past that and they shoot past the target because they're looking for the sale. or they're looking for the easy thing or the easy money. But it's right in front of us. Are we doing the work? Are we contributing at a high level? Are we building relationships with humans intentionally? And then great things happen, right?
I
You
think
want to
that part.
give us some tips on how to build relationships.
Oh, wow. So relationships with, first of all, address clients. From that very first phone call, I'll just take a phone lead, right? That very first phone call, you are starting to build that relationship, or hopefully you're starting to build that relationship, right? You're building, you're in the very early stages of building that trust, that rapport with that person on the other end of the line. So first of all, my biggest tip in that first phone call is, everybody wants to rush to the what, as in, okay, well, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, what do you need in a home? That's not the important part. The important part is the why behind it, the motivation behind it, what's driving them to buy or sell a home wherever they may be looking. That to me is more important, because I need to know that, right? I can better serve them if I'm armed with that information. I know that information. And I truly believe that, rather than jumping straight to, okay, what kind of home are you looking for? Let's go find it. I'm getting to know them, their story, what motivates them. And I truly believe that that shows that I'm invested in them. And in return, they're going to invest in me and our team, right? So that is very important, building that relationship. You may only get one shot at it, that initial phone call. That may be the last time you ever hear from those folks. So you've got to make the most of that time you have with them.
So good, man. Like we could do a 24-hour talk on that. Like that's so important. You are so skilled at it. And I also think there's such a need because people shoot past the target. They
Yep,
are.
absolutely.
Do what?
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more.
So what I see there is that so many people get caught up on the what, and they think their job is to find the perfect property. And you're missing the relationship, and now you're making it a trend. You're making it transactional versus relational. And what I have experienced, and what I do in my coaching business, what I do with my agents and my team, and what I try to teach our agents is like the transaction doesn't matter without the relationship. And so, how can I build a relationship with the person on the other end of the phone, the person on the other end of the kitchen table, the person on the other end of showing a prop, wherever it is, the other human that I have the privilege of hopefully helping with the biggest purchase or sale of their life? How can I build depth of relationship with them? And it has nothing to do with what house they're looking at, how many bedrooms it is, where the location is, what the price has nothing to do with that. And it has everything to do with what had you interested in looking to buy a home in the Lake of the Ozarks, Kent? Tell me more about that. Oh, why is that important to you? Oh, have you had something like that in the past that has been important to you? Tell me more about that. Oh, how did that make you feel? What are you looking for differently this time? If you just do that, like you will build a relationship with humans. But what happens is we get this crazy like commission breath, and what we want to do is go, well, I need to know how many bedrooms, I need to know what price point they're in, and are they pre-approved yet? I'm like, whoa, I don't even know you. Like, chill out a minute, right? And we have this, like, for lack of a better term, I think I've seen that agents struggle with this entitlement mentality, and they misunderstand and misinterpret what a lead is. Right? A lead is, number one, they're human. They got a family. They got life. They got drama. They got things happening. Number two is they are curious about real estate. 95% of them are in the curiosity phase, meaning they're not considering yet. Only 5% of any audience at any given time is considering real estate. Most of them are curious. And so if they're curious and you start talking about specifics, when they're just curious, they don't know. And then they give you some bullshit answer to get off the phone, and they yes you off the phone because they know you're a salesperson. And then they never show up, and you're like, why'd they ghost me? instead of, hey, Ken, I know you may be early in the process of looking for a home in Lake of the Ozarks. I'm just curious, what has you guys looking in the first place? Why is that important to you?
I think if you do that versus the, focus on the what, you're going to set yourself apart from, I don't know, probably 95% of the agents out there easily, right?
If not more.
Because most are focused on that, and that tends to come through. You're more about the transaction than anything. And what I like about our team is we're focused on the people. We're in the people business.
Yes,
We
sir.
just happen to be in the people business through the vehicle of real estate, right? So yeah, you've got to show that it's not about the transaction. It's you're truly there to help them to have their dreams come true. I came up with something a while back that I think is very true. I said that people don't buy homes, they buy the life that they envision in those homes. And I think that's absolutely true, right? And that's what you're doing, is trying to lead them through the process to realize what that vision is, to pull that vision out of them so you're able to help them in one of those most important decisions that they're going to make in their lifetime, for sure.
So good. Say that quote again one more time.
People don't buy homes, they buy the lives that they envision in those homes.
So good. So good. And so what are we doing as real estate agents to help pull out and help create clarity and depth in more color or more depth of that vision and what that's going to do for them and their family in the future. Right? Like I think that that's when we talk about, like, I say this in scripting a lot, right? We've got to focus on the motivation. But what we're really focusing on is the pain that they're moving away from, the pleasure they're moving towards, right? And it's not, I know that's an old school sales tactic, but that's the motivation. And if you go deeper on that and you understand what they're moving away from and what problem this is going to solve, or what they're trying to solve by moving towards something, and we really have depth of understanding there. And we build relationship through trust. That goes to my old adage that I learned from Andy Frisella is that number one, sales is solving problems. And number two, so too many times we try to make a sale without understanding the problem. Let's understand the problem. And then if we solve the problem, we make a sale. Really simple. But too many times we hit surface level problem and we try to solve it with some weird objection handler and we didn't go deep enough yet. And so we don't haven't got to the root of the problem. And so we didn't really solve the problem. We solved the objection, or we solved the smoke screen or the sales skepticism, and we think we solved the problem when we don't know the problem. So number one, go deeper on the problem. And number two of so sales equals solving problems. In addition to that is I also believe if you make a friend, you make a sale.
So that's where I was going to kind of go next with that, Matt, is I'm pretty fortunate in that I'm able to find pretty quickly some common ground with the folks that I'm speaking with, right? Whether that be, like you mentioned, I'm in the Lake of the Ozarks market. So whether that be, spending time in the outdoors on the lake, whether that be fishing, whether that be, the family getaway to spend time with the grandkids, whatever it may be, I'm able to pretty quickly pick up some kind of tidbits and find some common ground. And that definitely helps build that relationship as well. And it's just person to person, right? It's not person or client to real estate agent. It's person to person, and we're becoming friends through the process. And I always tell people that at the end of the day, after you buy or sell your home, what I endeavor to do is become your lifelong friend. And I've got some fantastic friends in the lake area that came through real estate. They were clients, now former clients. We're fantastic friends. They come back to me. We do business when we need to do business, and we're friends the rest of the time, right? And they recommend me to folks. So, yeah, that's a big deal for me as well.
I love it. I love it, man. There, you said something that I wanted to highlight is you said that when you're having a conversation with the lead, you've got to show them that you care. You've got to show them that you have their best interest. You have to show them that they can trust you. So many salespeople think it's about what they say. and they try to tell. Telling is not selling. You got to be able to model and demonstrate, and you either ask great questions or you prove it through your actions that you actually care. One of our core values, Kent, that I know is near and dear to your heart is going the extra mile. And you're one of the people that I can always think of that is willing to do that. And I think that there's a huge opportunity if we look for it in real estate of what are the little things that we can do to go above and beyond that make us stand out? Because we're very, here's my belief is that we're blessed to be in a time where customer service isn't a priority for most salespeople, most businesses. It's just not a, like it's getting worse. Is customer service gotten better or worse over the last 10 years of your life, Kent?
Worse.
Far worse. And it's declining fast, right? Like you go to a fast food restaurant and you talk to a computer, not a person, right? Like, and so many people are trying to automate themselves out of a job. And what I believe in the service space and here in real estate is that if we are able to show them that we care through our actions by going above and beyond, by anticipating the path, by taking initiative and doing little itty bitty things to show them that we care, not just tell them, show them that we care and show them that we're willing to work hard for them and show them that they're actually important to us. Now, not only do we build relationships, but we earn their trust. Which not only will get you business from them, but it'll get you business from their friends and family and for future and forever.
Yeah, I would say, Matt, that's probably a big area that I've in over the last probably a year and a half, in what you said about showing them you care. You said, agents just talk, right? They're just spewing information. And when I first came on board, I was that way. I just talked. I was talking more than they were talking, and that's not right, right? I wasn't asking questions. I'm just trying to show them how smart I am and that I know what I'm talking about, right? But that's not effective. That's not effective, right? They want to know that you truly care, and you show that by initially asking the right questions, getting into that motivation, that why you're showing them that you care and you're here to truly help them and serve in their best interest.
Here's the reality is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right. Absolutely.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's like so many of us approach this out of ego, and it makes us feel good when we talk a lot and we give them good information.
Right.
But I got news for you guys. This ain't about us, it's about them and the clients we get to serve. And as soon as we make that pivot, and we help them self-discover things throughout the process. We truly care, genuinely care authentically about their life, about what this move or transition is going to mean for them. And we have their best interest at heart. They feel it. And it's different. It's a game changer. And Ken is really, really good at that. More I'm going to close out with something around that and Ken's ability to build relationships. But I want to talk about something else that I think people have to be careful with this because let's just assume that you're doing everything that we've talked about. And if not, just stop listening because this doesn't apply to you. Until you do those things, this part of the podcast is not going to help you. You got to do those things first. But once you do those things, you're doing the work. You're contributing at a high level. You continually show up and give and give and give. You are building depth of relationship with people. You're truly authentically showing them that they care. I think that something that I see agents struggle with, and Kent, you can certainly relate with this. You were an extreme case of this, to be honest, is that you built a huge, huge pipeline of people, like 300 plus people, that you were trying to manage all of those in follow-up conversations. How was your experience there? What did you change? Why did you change it? And what was the result of that change?
So that was pretty miserable trying to keep up with a pipeline that big, right?
Well, let me ask you this. You had more people in your pipeline, Kent. That means you make more sales, right?
Absolutely not. No. For me, it did not work that way. Your focus, you have no focus. When your pipeline is that
Bingo.
big, you really have no focus. Right. So you're just lucky to try to keep up, right? Keep your head above water, trying to keep up with that many folks. So, through your coaching and others' coachings, coaching, I learned that, particularly in my case, like you said, for somebody that's willing to put in the work, less is more, right? So I really buckled down and focused on, I don't know, minimize, reducing the size of my pipeline, so that I could focus on those folks that really were ready, willing, and able to do something, whether that be buy a home or sell a home, right? So I think that has attributed to a great part of my recent success as well, being able to focus more on the folks that I really should be focusing on. I mean, let's face it, we've got a lot of tire kickers out there that really have no intention of doing anything. I think there's some people out there that just love to talk to real estate agents for some reason, right? So you've got to be able to figure
How
out
did you
which.
find that out, Kent?
I've had a few of those experiences. Yeah, really, that intensifies that focus and that effort, that you can put in on the folks that are going to do something in the relatively near future.
So I want you guys to, if you're not driving, if you're listening to this driving, don't just take a mental note. But if you're in a spot, you can take notes. I want you to write this down because I think this is so impactful if you're an agent or if you're a leader of agents. Like, you need to help your agents understand this at a depth, at super in depth. More leads do not equal more sales. I don't know where we bought this false myth of if we have more leads, we're going to sell more real estate. It could not be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, as soon as Kent cut down his pipeline by triple, he started selling more real estate. So many times we're stuck on hoarding more leads because we're just trying to get lucky instead of build a predictable, scalable business by building depth of relationship with people and sorting them by motivation and timeline so that we can go deeper with less people. Would you agree, Kent?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, rather than one inch deep, a mile wide, you're going 10 feet deep, this wide, right? So you can definitely get deeper into those relationships, like you
Yep,
talked
instead of
about,
an inch
Matt.
deep and a mile wide, you want to go an inch wide and a mile deep.
Yep, exactly. I guess, again, that's probably happened in the last year or so that I've realize that I'm kind of a slow learner sometimes, right?
Well, I don't think you're a slow learner. I think it's more just you're a bit hard-headed at times, my friend.
I am a bit hard-headed. Yeah,
Hey,
that's
we
true.
have that in common. It's all right.
Yeah, my nature, I just want to help everybody, and not everybody can be helped,
Yeah.
right? Not everybody wants your help. So you've got to learn the ones that truly want it, and those that are not. They're just kind of a waste of time, right? For lack
Really,
of a
really
better
good.
term.
And I think that depth of relationship is what really sticks with me, going back to the relationship and building the skill to be able to go deeper with more, with less people. Right? Because here's why I think a lot of people struggle with follow-up. That it's no truer statement has ever been true in real estate than the fortune is in the follow-up. And so if we all know that, why do real estate agents suck at follow-up? Why is it always a pain point? It's because I don't think most people don't understand what to say when they follow up. And it's because in their follow-ups, they did not, in their prospecting call or initial conversation, they were focused on the what and not the why. And so now when I follow up, I don't know what to follow up with because the only value I have is, well, I couldn't find that needle in a haystack home you were looking for.
Yep.
Because we don't have any depth or substance of relationship, and we're transactional versus relational. Now, when you go in relational first, the transaction works itself out. And then the follow-ups are easy because we're building friends. We're building a relationship with humans. We understand their motivation. We understand their pain. We understand what they're moving away from or what they're moving towards. And then we just pick up the next conversation where we left off. And we have clear next steps because now we've earned the right to be the leader that they need. And we can guide them into the next step of the transaction because we've earned the relationship. And so now the transaction is just the next natural step. What are your thoughts on
Absolutely.
that?
Well, a couple things. You said a couple words there that keyed some things. So back to the huge pipeline. And the fortune is in the follow-up. If you're not performing that follow-up, there's no fortune to be found, right? So for me, it was a struggle to keep up with that follow-up, in a timely manner. So I really had to reduce that pipeline so I could get in that follow-up and have those right conversations. The second thing, when you said something about leadership there, and I wanted to, you asked me earlier about how I build that relationship with folks. Most clients want your leadership. They want you to lead them through the process. I've worked with some folks that are very experienced in buying and selling real estate in the Lake of the Ozarks market, because it's a market where people are looking for investment properties, second homes. So they've been through this process quite a bit. But I have found they still want my leadership, right? So you've got to provide that leadership. You're not just an order taker. You're leading them through the process the entire way. And I mean, that's what you're getting paid to do, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's another way that I help build that relationship, by providing that leadership that they want and they need.
I want to really, really well done. Totally agree. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, but I think it's so important. Whenever I started at Matt Smith Real Estate Group, I said we're not going to use the word sell in our environment, because people don't need to be, nobody wants to be sold, and we don't need to sell anyone on anything. We're going to replace the word sell. Anytime we would use it, we're going to replace it with the word help. But here's what I've realized in this marketplace. So instead of selling people, we help people. But the reality of today's marketplace is people don't need our help. They need to be led. And so even the ones that don't want our leadership, they need it. They deserve it. And it is your responsibility and obligation to give it to them, because if not, they are getting subpar service, and I believe they deserve more. And so what is, Kent, what is your recollection of, maybe you've experienced this or you've seen others, like, what's the difference in someone that is a helper and a leader in a real estate transaction as a real estate agent?
Well, so a helper to me is just somebody, you've got the knowledge to fill out the paperwork that they need filled out. I mean, you're just doing the bare minimum. You're doing the transactional things that have to occur in a real estate deal, right? Versus a leader who is one. Educating on the process, from the initial meeting through the entire process. You're kind of letting them know what to anticipate throughout the process. You're setting expectations from the beginning, what they will encounter as we go through the process. You're providing updates. Obviously you're answering their questions when they have questions. There's always going to be questions, but if you've got your system set up right and your process is set up right, those questions should be minimal, because you've covered those and your expectations, and you've explained what the process looks like. Nobody likes surprises, right? We can't always eliminate surprises, but we can certainly reduce the number of surprises through that education, that leadership throughout the process. So, yeah, I would say somebody that's just a helper, or what's the word you use for that, Matt?
Yeah, are you a helper or a leader?
Yeah, a helper to me is just somebody that's going through the motions, doing the minimum amount, waiting for them to, the client to come to them with questions and
There
answer
we
their
go.
questions. But, if they're having to ask you those questions, it's too late, right?
Really good.
You may get through this transaction, but you're probably not going to see repeat business from that client, or recommendations for referrals from that client for others, right?
Yeah.
So to
Really
me,
good.
those are some differences for
I
sure.
think the main difference that I see is a helper is reactive and a leader is proactive.
Yep. Very succinct way to put it there. Yep.
I'll go deeper, because you're right. A leader also educates and informs around the process before they ask. You give the value and the information and knowledge that you have before they know they need it. A leader also clearly defines the next steps. You let them know what to, you set the pro, another way of saying that is you set the proper expectations. No one wants surprises, especially in the biggest transaction of their life.
Right.
We can't eliminate them, but we can minimize them and we can set proper expectations. Here's the reality. There's never been two human beings on the planet that had a disagreement that didn't start with improper expectations. So how can we set those expectations? Because that's what leaders do.
Yep.
We let them know what to expect. And the last thing I'll give you advice on, if you struggle with this as an agent, in order to encourage you to step into your power as a leader of buyers and sellers, would be I want you to actually review your game film, and I want you to take notes somewhere and keep a diary or journal of notes of anytime a client calls you and asks you a question. I want you to write it down and document it, and I want you to think to yourself, how could I have been proactive and answered that question before they asked me? Because the reality is they shouldn't be asking those questions. We're not perfect, and there's going to be things we tell them they forget. There's going to be things that happen. But if we can always try to eliminate that by where could I have been proactive in giving them that answer before they knew they had the question, that's what leaders do. And we set the proper expectations. I also think leaders take initiative. We don't wait to be told what to do. We don't wait on the client. I think a helper is also an order taker. And a leader is the one's like, hey, follow me. We're going to do this because this is what's in the best interest of you and your family. Instead of, well, I don't want to show them. They said they weren't sure if they want to see this one. Well, I know this is a great fit for them because I've built depth of relationship. And so instead of asking permission, I'm going to say, hey, guys, I scheduled this appointment today at 5:30. I know you get off at 5. I'll see you at 123 Main Street at 5:30. I think it's a good one for you. See you there. That's what leaders do. Makes all the difference in the world. All right. Ken, I've got something I want to close this out on, but do you have anything else that you want to add or share with the group before we kind of wrap up here?
And I don't think so. I think we've covered some ground here this afternoon. Again, for me, it just comes down to consistency and effort, and having that client first mindset. From the get go, knowing what the dream is, and going out and doing my part to fulfill that dream for them. So,
Love it.
yeah.
Awesome. Well, I just wanted to just give you your recognition. Many of you know, if you follow me on social, that me and my wife are very, very blessed to be able to buy our dream lake home. I just want you to know the man behind the scenes that worked with us tirelessly for 2 years was Mr. Kent Wheelock. The way that he handled the transaction and the relationship that we built with him through it, like my 8-year-old still asks about you. Hey, is Kent coming over?
That's
Right?
awesome.
Just because of the relationship that we built. You had my wife in tears multiple times just because of your going the extra mile and your ability to help, and most importantly, your quote of people don't buy houses, they buy the life that they imagine inside of them. Because of you, me and my family now are living the life of our wildest dreams because of your ability to help us with that. So I just want to say sincerely thank you.
That means the
Really
world to me,
appreciate it.
man. Thank you. Appreciate that.
We got the house of our dreams, and we get to like I get to, my 8-year-old comes to me and says, Daddy, you're done with work. Can we go on the jet ski? And we just walk down and take a jet ski ride.
Yeah, it's
She gets
awesome,
to
isn't
drive me around on the lake. You know what I mean? It's
it? Yeah.
and so that's the life that we get to live because of your help, man. We're forever better because of your help. So I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
I
My
know
pleasure.
that our core focus as an organization is changing lives, and it's really, really cool to see that out of all of this, like my goal is to help change other people's lives, including yours. But because that's our mission and you believe in it so much, you absolutely had an impact and changed mine. So thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Cool. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Kent, thank you for your time. Thank you for contributing. I know that this was valuable. And I know that here's what I know. is there's going to be leaders right now that I know that are listening to this that follow me for like leadership stuff in this podcast. And they're going to be like, this is my next sales meeting. We're going to play this and we're going to let Kent lead our other agents because this dude's crushing it. And we're going to let him, we're going to, this is going to be our next sales meeting. So I know there was value here. And guys, if you're listening to this, you follow the show, you know what, you know the deal. Like I do this to give back. Kent did this to give back and contribute. So just share this with someone. If there was one spark in here, there was one quote, one saying that you could resonate with and impact, and it impacted you in a positive way, share this episode with a friend. Share about the movement, about the podcast, because we do this to contribute and give back. And it means the world when you guys trust us and recommend this show to other people because it's just another extension of the mission of changing lives.